You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 20. You know, besides Christmas and Thanksgiving, which we obviously stopped and ministered along the lines of Thanksgiving and also Christmas, we started a series a couple of months ago on finances, what the Bible says about money. And we talked about, first of all, our attitude toward money, that we shouldn't be greedy for it, that God does want to prosper us, but he doesn't want us to lust after money, to not love money, not serve money, not trust money. We went through all those scriptures. But if God has your love and your service and your trust, you can have all the money in the world, as long as it doesn't have you. And then we talked about God's number one way of prospering you, which is work, that four-letter word. Most people are not in what we call full-time ministry. We're all ministers, and we all minister full-time in one respect, whether it's on our job or relatives or whatever it is we do. But now we're not all called to pastor. We're not all called to be a teacher or prophet or apostle or evangelist. But all of us have a part in this thing. Are you with me? All of us do a part, and most of us probably work. But without work, money doesn't come in. Buildings don't get built. Missionaries don't get supported. Offerings aren't taken. Are you out there? Well, y'all sound real excited this morning. So work is God's number one way of prospering you. It's not magical. God's not magical. God's not flaky. He's not goofy. God does not do goofy. God is a God of order. Are you with me? And so work is just part of the order that he goes by. We think of finances biblically. We usually think of tithes and offerings. That's why I purposely waited till the last two teachings to teach on tithes and offerings. Because I want us to understand the Bible has a lot to say about work. It has a lot to say about budgeting and saving. It has a lot to say about investing. It has a lot to say about borrowing, co-signing. Some do, some don't do. Not a sin to borrow. You just don't want to make it a lifestyle. Are you with me? In fact, he tells you to give and lend to others. So if it were a sin to borrow, he wouldn't tell you to lend to people. Just not God's best. God's best is that you'd lend to many nations and not borrow. That's what it says. Amen? So we talked about that. We talked about investing and savings and all those. And now we're down to, we talked about tithing a couple weeks ago. Now we're down to the last one. Giving. Everybody say giving. Giving. Woo! Hallelujah. Just puts Holy Ghost bumps all over me just to say it. I know you're excited. Calm down. Okay. So tithing, of course, is 10%. It's just not magical either. It's just 10%. It's a tenth. And when you see a tenth in the Bible mentioned, that's tithing. That's Old Testament and New Testament. That's all, and actually Hebrews, the seventh chapter, in great detail. And Matthew 23, Jesus talks about it. It's before the law in Genesis 28, where Jacob vowed a vow that he'd give a 10% to God. It was in the 14th chapter of Genesis, where Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek, long before the law of Moses. Many people say, well, tithing's a law. Or it's under the law, and we're not under the law. Well, tithing was during the law, but tithing was before the law, and tithing is after the law. Tithing is not a law. Tithing is a principle. It's like gravity. You jump off roof, you hit ground. That's gravity. Now, you can work with gravity or you can work against gravity. Tithing is just a principle. If you bring 10% to God, God's going to bless it. He said he would. And it's a starting point as far as finance is concerned. Truth be known, it's all God's. 10% is not God's. It's all God's. I belong to him. Everything I have belongs to him. And so out of honor and respect and obedience to God, I give a 10% to him. That's called a tithe. And he blesses that. He opens the windows of heaven, pours out a blessing to me. I don't have room to receive. There's the key. God's point is not to just bless us. God's point is to make a blessing out of us. Why would you be so self-centered and so selfish to ask God to bless your four no more? Why would you be so selfish for ask God just to meet your needs and do nothing more than that? Don't you care about your neighbor? Don't you care about Walt, Sammy and Martha in Mexico? Don't you care about missions? Don't you want to give more? Don't you want to help more? Well, ask God to bless you so you can do that. True prosperity is helping people. It's reaching out. We couldn't do what we do in this church if we didn't believe in prosperity. But prosperity is not just having more things. Prosperity is doing more things. Prosperity is reaching more people. Prosperity is turning gold into souls. When I think of prosperity, I think of all of our missions. I think of all of our outreaches. I think of course we have buildings, of course we have land, but we need that to do what we do. Are you with me? Of course we're out of debt, but we need to be out of debt so we can give more. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. I just believe I preached myself happy up here. Glory. prosper. I want to prosper because I want to help more. I want to give more. I want to get my house paid for and help somebody else pay their house off. I want to get my cars paid for and pay somebody else's cars off. Hallelujah. I don't want to just stop with me. Why be so self-centered? Jesus said, give to the poor. He didn't say, leave them alone, just get your own needs met. Are you out there? He said, give to the poor. He wants you to think of those that are weak, those that are without. Well, you know, we need to get free financially so we can help others. That's pure and simple. Acts the 20th chapter, notice what it says. Paul speaking, and he met with the elders at Ephesus. He was on his way to Jerusalem and subsequently on his way to being incarcerated and going to Rome, you know. And he knew he wouldn't see them anymore, and he called the elders together, and they met together. The Ephesian elders got together, and he preached to them some awesome insight here in these the few verses here in the 20th chapter. In the 35th verse, this one verse I want to center in on, he's speaking. He says, I have showed you all things so laboring that in so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Wow. Well, that ought to be a motivation right there. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. We spend a lot of time on receiving, especially this time of year. You know, we give all the gifts and so on and so forth. We think about what we're getting, and, you know, half your kids are mad because they didn't get what the other half had. And, you know, one of them wanted this gift and one of them wanted that gift. And it's all about what we get, you know. But really, Jesus was saying, and Paul's repeating Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Your biggest blessings in life is not what you get. It's what you give. My biggest blessings in life is helping others, not just getting help. Thank God I get help when I need it. Thank God I'll receive when I need it, no doubt. And I will believe God when a need arises, don't get me wrong. But I live to give. I live to help. And my biggest blessing is in helping others. See, you can give, and you will receive because the scripture is very plain, but just receiving won't cause you to give. Giving will always cause you to receive. That's one reason why it's better to give than to receive. Because giving always causes you to receive. But receiving doesn't always cause you to give. Giving is your choice. You make a willful choice to give in life. And that's really what causes you to be blessed and prosper. And that's what God blesses. God blesses blessers. He gives to givers. And he gives seed to sowers. Why would God give you seed if you weren't going to sow? Why would God bless you if you were not going to bless others? Freely you receive, freely give, the Bible says. God's looking for people that give to give to. God's looking for sowers to give seed to. God's looking for people who bless others to bless.
That's right.
God blesses blessers.
Yeah.
God gives to givers. God gives seed to sowers. So if you determine I'm going to be a sower, then God will make sure you have plenty of seed.
That's right.
If you say, well, I'm just going to be a giver, well, God will make sure you always receive. Well, I'm just gonna be a blesser. Well, God will make sure you're blessed. Because if you put others first, he'll put you first. If you make others your business, God will make you his business. See, that's the ultimate end of it. I'm not giving to get, although I know I will get when I give. I'm giving because that's what God wants to do. That's what God does. That's more like him. That's copying, imitating him. And that's his command to me to give. So that's enough for me. That's my motivation. My motivation is God said, give, I want to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But I cannot outgive God. I know that once I start the process, when I start the ball rolling, when I jump off the roof, I'm going to hit the ground. That principle of gravity is going to kick in. When I give and I bless others, I have set in motion that principle of giving. It's going to cause blessing to come back to me. I know that. I understand that. That's not why I'm doing it. That's just the result of it. That's the consequences of it. I'm sorry, but there are consequences to your action. If you're going out there and you're going to be nice, you're going to help people, people are going to help you. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Are you out there? So we get the cart before the horse many times. We're trying to go after the thing, and we forget the process, as it were. We make much of the event, but not much of the process. See, if you want to prosper in God, well, there's a way to prosper, and that's the way to do that is to help others prosper. You say you want to make it ministry. Well, I can tell you how you make it ministry. Help others make it ministry. Well, I just want to be loved. Well, love others. I just want to be accepted. Well, why don't you accept others? I just wish people be nice to me. Well, you old wicked thing, why don't you be nice to them? Start the process. We won't talk about the event, but we won't talk about the process. The process is what brings the event. It's what brings the outcome. Hallelujah. And what God's given us here is just principles. The Bible's filled with principles. If you will follow and you will obey, your life will be so much better. God's not an ogre up there. He's not up there just trying to make you do something, just commanding you to do, because he likes to boss people around. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. And he knows if you will do this, your life will be blessed. You'll start the process that he lives by. See, God gives. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, he gave one son. How many of you think he got back? Yeah. Woo. All of us. But it started with a sacrifice. It started with a gift. It started with an action. It started with something of him letting go, that it came back. It's opposite of the world. The world says, keep it, hold on to it, hold tight. God says, give it, and it'll come back to you. Give your life. We don't want to give away our life. We don't want to give away ourselves, you see. And so we don't have any friends. Nobody wants to be around us because we don't want to be around them. Yeah. But if we'll give, all of a sudden it starts a process. It starts this ball rolling. Woo, hallelujah. Turn to Luke 6 chapter. I already quoted it, but let's turn and look at it. With the whites of our eyes. Hallelujah. See, these are just giving, some giving scriptures that we're talking about here. And what we're talking about is just living a life of helping others, thinking of ways you can bless others. And, you know, we're coming into a new year. That's a good resolution, I guess, is to think more of others than myself, to put myself into others more than just me, to help others succeed, not just me, to think of the needs of others, not just my needs. You know, start doing that, and you'll start a whole process, a whole principles go into effect here. And you'll wind up finding out that God is blessing you, and you'll start prospering, you'll start growing, because you're helping others. And doesn't that just make sense? I mean, that God would help people that are going to help others? Why would God help people that are not going to help anybody? So that's often the question we ought to, and I stay with me, and I know you're already excited about the message, but stay with me. You know, why would God help me? I want to know, why would he help me? Am I going to help anybody? Am I going to pray for anybody? Am I going to? Out there. Now, you got to love me. I'm your pastor. You don't have a choice. But those kind of questions I ask myself, what is this going to do for the kingdom of God? How is this going to help the kingdom of God? How is this going to help the cause of Christ? The only cause that counts. If God helps me, am I going to do something with it? That should be the question. We are responsible, aren't we, after we receive something? We live in an age where nobody wants responsibility. We live in a country where we're empowering, you know, laziness and lackadaisiness and all the other ignesses, you know, that you come up with, that we reward people that don't work and penalize those that do. And, you know, you can't run down that track. That track our country's going down is the wrong road to be on. Actually, we ought to be helping each other. The government shouldn't be helping everybody. The church ought to be helping people. But we've created this monster now called welfare. And thank God for people that need help. They're on welfare, and I don't mind helping people that need help. Stay with me. But did you know at one time the church did all that? And now, little by little, the church has just moved out completely. Now it's just the government that's doing all that. And we ought to be doing that all the time anyway. Why, you shouldn't let your parents starve to death, die without a home. You ought to help your parents. You ought to take care of your parents. You shouldn't let your kids live out on the street. You ought to raise your kids in your home and stay together as a husband and a wife and do the right thing. Are you with me? See, we ought to do the things. The reason that the government's doing what it's doing is because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. The church as a whole. Not us. We've decided to make a difference. That's why we have this food ministry. That's why we help so many people. Hundreds of families. I don't know how many people a year we help. Over 5,000, 6,000, if you count them all up. 60, 70 tons of food. Literally, 60, 70 tons of food we give away every year. It's just mind-boggling when you think of the amount of food that we go through and the people that we help. But we've made a difference, and we've seen people get saved. Are you with me? And you know, and we're what the church is about. Helping, suffering, sighing, dying humanity. Not just with the gospel, which is, of course, getting people saved, which is the ultimate goal of all that we do and everything we do as far as the ministry is concerned, a food ministry and a hallelujah, not just bait to get people saved. I understand that. But we're not saying be warm, be filled, and yet we don't give them the things that are needful to the body. We're actually trying to help them. It's like Sammy's talking about going out and giving away these toys and food and things that they do. Well, you know, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And once they find that you care, that you love them, they'll listen to you when you tell them about the gospel, about the good news, about Jesus dying for your sins. Hallelujah. Amen. But we got to get into this thing of giving. Just live to give. Now, I'm not talking about giving your house payment away. I'm not talking about giving your electric payment. I'm talking about getting your house paid for. Are you with me? And getting on a budget where you've got money and then tithe, do your 10%. But believe God to have extra to give above that. We're not talking about not paying your bills and helping people. That's not right. That'd be illegal. That's a bad witness anyway. But get to the point where your bills are paid and you're paying your bills. Amen. Of course, you're tithing. I understand that. But then let's don't stop at tithing. Let's just start giving more. That's okay. I'm not going to take another offering before we close. I mean, y'all can amen. We close out, we'll go home. We'll take another offering. Luke 6, notice what it says right here. Luke 6, I already quoted it. But it starts out in the 37th verse. It says, judge not lest you be judged. That's pretty simple. There's that sowing and reaping. There's whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There's that principle. Judge not lest you be judged. Condemn not. Luke 6, 37. Condemn not that you be not condemned. Now, if you're hateful all the time, you know, people be hateful to you. If you're critical all the time, people be critical of you. But if you love people, if you lift people, if you encourage people, if you stand behind, if you believe in people, they'll believe in you. It's a law. It's a principle. It's the way the world works. It's the way God designed the world. Amen? And Jesus is speaking here. He's the one telling us this. He says this. He says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Oh, there's a big one there. We got to learn to forgive. Amen? And go forward. Hallelujah. You can't unscramble eggs. You can't undo the past. You got to go forward. Give and it shall be given to you. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. So if I just give and I just help, God will take care of me. Amen? Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And he's talking about like a seed bag, really, what he's talking about, or a feed bag. In this case, it was seeds. If you had a bag and they filled it up, they'd put it in a good measure, then they'd press it down, and they'd shake it together, you know, to fill in all the spaces. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's more than you can hold. That's every little pocket, every little empty space filled because it's shaking together. It's pressed down, it's shaking, and then it's overflowing. So you got more than you got all you need, as Paul said in one case, I have all I need. Amen? And the rest of it just overflowing. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Said to bring the tithes in the storehouse, and he said, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you do not have room enough to receive. See, we've been living on barely get by street. We need to get off that street. We need to get a house over there on more than enough. Amen? Yeah. We've lived our life just saying, God, meet my need, meet my needs. But see, really, that is a selfish. It sounds pious. It sounds holy. It sounds religious, and it is ever so religious. I will admit that. But it's ever so unscriptural. Because when you go into it, really, God wants to make a blessing out of us to where we can reach beyond ourselves and help others. But a lot of us have given up. A lot of us have just settled down. Hello. A lot of us said, that's just too big a bite. It's too big a bite. Well, I heard it say the other day, it said, I'd rather choke on greatness than be satisfied with mediocrity than chew and digest mediocrity. I'd rather burn out than rust out. Are you with me? I'd rather shoot high and miss than shoot low and hit every time. Oh, come on, man. If you never step out of the boat, you never walk out on the water. Amen? Make it a goal. Get out of that life you're living and get into to really living. You really start living when you start giving. You really start living when you start thinking of others. You know, when you do what you can do. And of course, in context, he's talking about judgment. He's talking about mercy. He's talking about condemnation. He's talking about forgiveness. And it would apply to finances because it's a general rule. It's a rule of the kingdom of God. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Amen? Turn to Ephesians 4. Y'all getting something out of this? Yeah. Okay, tell your face. Ephesians 4. Now, this is good because he's talking about this along the same lines about giving. Now, what we're talking about is just live a life of giving. You know, you're not going to be a millionaire overnight. You may not ever be a millionaire. I don't know. We all prosper relatively. I remember preaching in India. And they were telling me you couldn't, I preached everything over there. I mean, faith and healing and prosperity was just one thing that I taught. But I taught in southern India, in the state of Kerala, I taught in places like Mavalakira and Cochin and Trichur and Alapi, Bethancourt, and the mountains of Manimuli. Real places. Those are real places. But anyway, they'd say, oh, you can't preach prosperity over there. They just barely have a bicycle. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to preach to them. I'm going to preach to them and believe God for a motorcycle. Amen. And if they don't have a bicycle, I'm going to preach to them and believe God for a bicycle. Because they can reach more with a bicycle than they can walking around. And they can reach more with a motorcycle than they can just with a bicycle. And if they got a motorcycle, I'm going to believe God with them and preach to them that start believing God for a car. See, it's a relative thing. Wherever you are, let's believe God to use us more, to reach more, to do more, to stretch our faith. Hallelujah. Here we're going into a new year. Man, this is great. You ought to stretch your faith. Brother Osteen used to have that. Remember that Stretch Armstrong? Yeah, that doll, Stretch Armstrong. Brother Osteen, he was something else. But anyway, he was a wonderful man of God. He was my pastor for years, and I love him. Love Dodie, still alive and still preaching and still kicking. Man, she is just preaching the gospel. And Joel's doing okay. Yeah. But anyway, his dad, Brother Osteen, used to preach all the time. And he'd get that doll up there and he'd stretch. And he said, you need to stretch your faith. He had that Stretch Armstrong. He'd grab his arms, he'd stretch it out there. Stretch your faith. You know, he did that forever. I thought, well, that's so true, though. We've got to stretch our faith. Are you satisfying your faith? Have you reached a plateau? No, you haven't reached all you can reach. You hadn't done all you can do. You hadn't become all you can become. You can do more. You can reach further. Hallelujah. And God wants to use you more. He really does. But he does it as in a process. If you'll start, I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to call somebody today and encourage him. I'm going to reach out to somebody. I'm going to, you know, Vicki, you could make another pecan pie, bring over to my house. You could do that. Just thinking about different things we could do. You know, I'm going to do something. Hello. And in doing that, you'll start a process. You'll start a process, and God will start blessing you. He will. Put others first. Feeling down, pray for others that are down. Call somebody up. Amen? Now, he says this, Ephesians 4, 1 verse, 28th verse. Notice what it says. It says, let him that stole steal no more. Well, obviously, you know, that's taking, not giving. That's taking away from somebody. That's hurting somebody, making someone less, not more. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, that's kind of a new concept, isn't it? Because we think we're working with our hands, the thing which is good, that we may have to pay our bills. Isn't that right? That's kind of where we stop it. We plateau there. We put a governor on it. We put a level on it. And we stop it. We love God. We're going to church. We don't want to get greedy because that would be wrong to lust after money. But what we do, in essence, we kill any chance of us helping anybody because we never ask for God to bless us beyond our needs. And here he's saying that you've been out there stealing. Quit stealing. Do the opposite of stealing. What's the opposite of stealing? That's giving to somebody. Not stopping with your needs, not stopping with just what you have, but the opposite of stealing would be giving to someone. Isn't that right? And so he said, let's go to work. Let's work with our hands a thing which is good that we can pay our bills. No, he said, so we can have to give to him that needeth. Oh, that's better preaching. Y'all are amen it. Oh, think about it now. Come on. See, we're just thinking if we could just get our needs met, if we can just, man, just get beans on the table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head, that's all I need, Lord. No, I tell you what you need a whole lot more than that. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to get beyond yourself. You're going to have to get into helping others. And to do that, you got to be blessed. If the blind lead the blind, we all fall in the ditch. If we're all poor, we're all just going to be poor. Now, if you don't want to be poor no more, you get the point. Then you got to get over being poor. Oh, come on now. We can do it emotionally. We can do it financially. You know, people are hurt. I'm just hurt. I'm so hurt. Well, you know, you got to get over your hurt. I know you've been hurt. I've been hurt. Cut me. I bleed. I know. We've all been through things. But, you know, don't live that way. Let's get over that thing. And let's go help somebody else that's hurt. Are you with me? Yeah, well, I had this tragedy. And I had that happen. Well, you know what? I hate that. I do. And the world's a bad place. It is a terrible place, really. The world is not heaven. There's no question about it. The world's got sharp edges. It cuts, it bites, it you bleed when you get bit. I mean, everything around here, you get bruised. If you live long enough, you're going to be hurt because we're not in heaven. This is a broken, fallen world we live in. Now, God will help us, and God will get us on our feet, but we're not in heaven yet. You need to understand that. Don't you ever cry for someone who went to heaven. What you cry for is because you miss them. But they're in a much better place. They have left this world of pain. Are you with me? Now, I'm not painting such a bad picture here that, you know, that every day's bad. Of course, we have good days on the earth, but the earth's got a lot of pain. One tragedy can just throw you out of kilter. I mean, come on, somebody died in your family, and, man, you're hurting for weeks and months, and, you know, it takes a while to get over that. You can get over it, and that's the point. You need to get over it. You need to get over it because there's somebody else out there that needs you to help them. There's kids watching you. There's your grandchildren. In my case, my grandchildren are watching me. They need to see me get over stuff. They need to see me overcome stuff through the Word of God and with prayer and faith in God. They need to see that Jesus can heal me when I hurt. They need to see that I can get back on my feet again. Are you with me? They need something. They need to see somebody kill that giant. They're all up on a hill right now waiting for somebody to slay that giant. And that could be you. And it should be you. And it can be you if you make a choice to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's determine we're going to get beyond mediocrity. Determine I'm not going to live a mediocre life. I'm going to believe God to help me help people. I'm going to do what I can to reach out to the world. You know, in this church, I'm so excited about it. I know we did it the first of the year last year. We actually built a church in Thailand. It's so awesome. Do it throughout the year. We sent $7,000 to Thailand to build a building over there, build a church building. And they got it built. I got pictures of it. We didn't even put it on a presentation. They dedicated it in October. It took a while to get to it. And, man, it's really a neat story because they got the police and actually the military even involved in helping them build the thing. And the guy that's pastor now used to be a Buddhist priest that was against Christianity. They had a supernatural vision from God while he was in the hospital or bedridden, and he turned his life over to Jesus, woke up quoting scripture, and started what he tried to tear down, what he meant to tear down, was commissioned by the Buddhists to do because they're really against Christianity over there. Now he's building up. Now he is pastor of that church, leading people to Jesus. That's awesome. That is awesome. But to be able to give $7,000 at the beginning of a year to build a church, you have to prosper to do that. Are you out there? You have to believe in prosperity. You have to believe. I mean, we got buildings. We needed. We hadn't finished our gymnasium. That's where we should have put that money. Well, if you think like that, you never have anything. If you don't help others. You know, one year we gave $1,000 to Calvary Baptist when they built their new building. Took it over there, gave them a check the day before they moved into it. Said, we want to be a part of what y'all are doing. We thank you for what you're doing in our community. Thank you for all that you've done for Jesus in the years that you've been here. And, Gene, the pastor over there, opened up the letter, looked at the check, and just cried like a baby. Got up and announced it that Sunday, and everybody stood up, gave a standing ovation to our church over there at Calvary Baptist. I'll tell you, one way to win Baptists is to give money to their building program. So, God bless Baptists. But we wanted to help them. We wanted to bless them, be a part of what they're doing. Amen? Hey, Philippians 4. Man, I'm not going to get through this. I'm just going to get another scripture or two. We'll close out. Hallelujah. Just helping anybody. Yeah. Okay. See, this is an attitude. It's a lifestyle. It's something you learn to do on a regular daily basis. Not some one big time thing you do. It's not some emotional pull. You know, we make emotional pulls many times when we do offerings and, you know, and show the missionaries all the starving little babies and, you know, put them on the screen because that just pulls people's emotions. There's nothing wrong with emotions if they're used correctly, but we ought to give systematically. We ought to be givers. We ought to live to give, not just be emotional about it. Thank God for the pull of my emotions when it's God. But sometimes we can just be emotionally talked into a lot of things. I know some things just make me cry. There are just certain things that I can't, you know, anything with mentally handicapped kids on TV, I cannot watch. I just cannot watch. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I mean, I think it was the hardest thing to watch that movie Radio, you know, because I'm so blessed with a good head and a good mind, and my kids are blessed, and I know that's God, and I know there's not everybody has that. And it just gets me. I don't know, it's just something about the kids that don't have that advantage in life. It just doesn't do me good to go there because I'm going to cry every time, every single time. Just don't want to watch that movie. Don't want to talk about that. Are you with me? Because it's one thing that just tugs at me. And we're all the same. There's something that does that, you know, that just tears at you. Emotions are real, but you have to live your life more than just emotionally. Amen? You have to be logical and reasonable according to the Word. And there are times that God will pull you, and you need to recognize God and not just your emotions. And offerings, you know, I'd like to give everybody money. I can't. I have to pay bills. I have that. I have to do that. But I can work on getting money extra to help others with. Amen? Philippians 4. Notice what it says in the 14th verse, Paul speaking. He says, he's talking to this church at Philippi, a Gentile church. They were Gentiles, just like us. Could have been Will's point he's talking about. He said, notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate, he means give, to my affliction. He needed money for his endeavors, missionary endeavors, and he helped. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, the good news, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. In other words, they supported his ministry and they supported his outreaches, as it were. He was a missionary. And it says, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. Everybody say giving and receiving. Okay, because it's kind of all in one breath. If you give, you're going to receive. Isn't that right? You start the process. If you give, you're going to receive. He called it giving and receiving. He says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once again into my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. And he says, I'm excited not because you met my need. That's good. That's wonderful. But I'm excited because I know fruit's going to abound to your account. Because if you start living that way, you're going to have plenty. Amen. Amen. You want a satisfied life? Help others. You'll be more satisfied than anybody in the world. Amen. Self-centered, selfish people are the most miserable people in the world. Yeah. People that are hateful are hurting because the hater hurts. In fact, it's a release when you let it go, when you shake it off. Amen. People don't forgive, they're miserable. People that get bitter, you know, they're like that snake. You know, when that snake got on Paul's hands in the Isle of Malta, it says he shook it off. Because, and when he didn't swell up and didn't die, they realized a miracle had taken place. Did you know that everybody can see that you still got that snake hanging on you because you're so swelled up and you're so puffed up? Shake it off. You are killing yourself. You got so much poison in you, you all puffed up. We can all see it. Hello? Let it go. Let it go. See, miserable people are people that make your other people miserable. Happy people are people that make other people happy. Well, notice what it says here. I'll close this out. I'll quit. I won't be like Sammy. I'm not going to take up all my time. Sammy, you did good. You didn't do that, Ben. You're just here, so I'm picking on you, you know. He says, 16th verse, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and I abound, and I am full. Wow, how many preachers say that? How many preachers get up and say we're out of debt? Hello. Oh, come on. They're always got some scam, some scheme, some way to get more money out of you. You know, I shouldn't say it. Some people have definite needs, and I know that. But at some point, my Lord, doesn't the church eventually get out of debt? It's got to get out of debt sometime. Are you with me? And when they get out of debt, shouldn't they stay out of debt? Well, that's what we decided. You can tell I'm serious about it. I'm going to falsetto. We got out of debt in 97, and we stayed out of debt. We determined we're going to be out of debt. We're going to stay out of debt, and we're going to pay cash from here on out. We've been the debt route, and we've been there, and we've got buildings built. Now we're going to pay cash. Amen. And it's worked for us. Hallelujah. He says this, I have all and I abound. 18th verse. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, we always quote that verse, but he's telling that to the Philippians who have given. They had a right to that verse because they had given. We quote it sometimes, we ain't given anything. Are you with me? But he was responding to their giving by saying that. And if you really want to take it apart, and this is my final closing. if you really want to take it apart, he's saying, you have helped me, and that's good. You've helped me with what you could help me with. I mean, if you had a little money, you gave me a little money. If you had a lot of money, you gave me a lot of money. You did for me what you could do. But my God is going to supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And his riches are much more than your riches. You did what you could do, but he's going to do what he can do, which is always a whole lot more than what you did. Proverbs says this, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and you shall be repaid. So don't think you're going to outgive God. If you really want to prosper and you want to get out of the mess you're in, go help somebody. Pray for somebody. Give to somebody. Learn this principle that if you'll help enough people succeed in life, you'll start succeeding in life because God will make it happen. He'll make it so. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven returneth not thither and watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. That's what the scripture says, Isaiah 55, 11, 10, 11. And we find from there that principle that God gives seed to sowers. Lord, I'm going to be a sower. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to be a blesser. Amen? Is that you? Let's determine to do that this year. Just do more, give more, bless more, sow more.